Very thankful and blessed to be able to share the word this morning. And I'd like you to go to Deuteronomy. Also grateful that the Spirit of God is working in us all, so that the manifestations and the prayers certainly are going to go along with today's teaching. It's always a wonderful thing to see God working in everybody. A confirmation. You know, I think I take it for granted quite often, but it's not something you should take for granted at all. I mean, it's really a gorgeous thing. So Deuteronomy chapter 10. And verse 12, it says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God, Yahweh thy Elohim, require of thee, but to fear Yahweh thy God, thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul." You know, every time in King James you see a capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, that's Yahweh. It's one of the ways in which the King James translators decided to make sure that there was a distinction in the name and titles for God. In the second word, the Lord thy God, Yahweh thy Elohim, the creator, the one who willed it to be, is the second word for God here. And I'm not going to do that every verse we read like this, but I want you to think about it. This is your personal father. He wants us to love him, you know, and he says this quite often in the book of Deuteronomy. And I was kind of surprised at how often he says it to his people in the book of Deuteronomy. But this is what he wants. This is what our father has always dreamed of, desired. This is what he wanted from Adam and Eve. He just wanted them to love him. He wanted them to fellowship with him. He wanted to fellowship with them. He wanted a loving relationship. And that's what your father still wants from you. You know, he's going to teach you exactly what this means in the scriptures. He's going to show us all exactly how simple it is. I mean, and it really is very simple. But I just wanted to point these beautiful truths out. Go to chapter 11 here. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, shall thou love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know you this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known and which have not seen, and the chastisement of the Lord your God and his greatness and his mighty hand as he stretched it out his arm, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt and Pharaoh, the king." Now, God was talking to the people who knew him, who had seen him work. He wasn't talking to their kids yet. You know, that, and I mean, think of it. If you got young ones and they haven't really seen how great God is yet, he's going to tell you, you're the one that's got to teach him. You're the one that's got to make it known to them. You know, if I walk, just think of when you walk into a home and there's adults there, there's children there. The people who know you, that have invited you into the home are the adults, right? The kids, oh, this is daddy's friend. This is mommy's friend. They don't really know you. You're not there to instruct them or to converse with them. In fact, their parents have really told you, don't be talking to strangers, right? You're talking to the adults who know you. God is talking to the men and women who they have seen his deliverance. They have seen his power. They have seen his magnificence. It's up to those individuals to then teach them to seek the Lord, to show them by example and by witnessing that God Almighty has done these things for us. And he tells the people of Israel this. Now, he'll talk to their children as they want to hear it and as they believe their parents and they get to know them. But just think of it in those terms. You know, he doesn't walk into an empty room or to a room with all the people in it and start telling them and scare them to death. You know, wouldn't that be like the reaction? All of a sudden, boom, you don't know anything about God, and he calls you up and starts talking to you. Samuel, you get the example, you know, God's Samuel. Samuel, this little boy, is laying in his bed. And he don't know who it is. So he goes and runs into Eli. I heard you called me. Then Eli finally figures it out. It takes, this is just a thought, but it takes a relationship to have where you listen to someone. And God has done that for the people who came out of Egypt. And he will do it for their kids. In fact, he's going to do it. But it's up to those individuals to teach. My children didn't know anything about God just from hanging around until I taught them about God. Then they started to talk to the Father and expect an answer from him. And they got it. You follow me? Well, what's our job? Our job is to love him. This is what he wants from us. Go to verse 13. Chapter 11. It shall come to pass that if you hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that I will give you the rain on your land in due season, and the first rain and the latter rain, and that thou mayest gather the corn and the wine and the oil. If you love him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, the short answer is he's going to provide you with everything that you need and bless everything that you have. You know, verse 22. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, them to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all the nations before you, and you shall possess the greater nations and mightier than yourself. Every place whereon the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness of Lebanon, even to the river Euphrates, even to the uppermost sea, shall be your coast. And there shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon the land, and you shall tread upon as he had said unto you. He is the one who makes us prosper, victorious. And they were a little people compared to all these people that they were going to go against. He says that to them many times. He says, you know, you weren't the biggest in the bunch. In fact, you're the least. But God made it happen. He made it happen. Why? Because they would love him. Because they would choose to love him. Their fathers 40 years before had the same shot, and God gave them the same promise, but they chose not to fear the Lord. They chose not to believe the promise. They chose really to have their fear reign over them rather than Almighty God. The people are too big. The land is too big. The buildings, you know, the walls are too thick. We can't do it. You know, you love God Almighty. You know who He is. Then who's bigger than Him? Who's able to overcome His decisions? Who's able to knock down His plan? See, when you know Him, when you really know Him, and you know who you're dealing with, right? And then the reason, the knowledge of the Word and the knowledge of your Father determines what you believe, and not what you see in front of you or what you hear in your ear. He tells them so often, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I love you. Yeah. Let's go to another place here. Just throw these verses. I love reading these things. Deuteronomy 19. And Deuteronomy 19, verse 9. If thou keep all the commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in His ways, then shalt thou add 3 cities more for thee besides these 3, that the innocent blood be not shed in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, and so innocent blood be upon thee. You know, that's there were these cities that God set up that if someone really screwed up and caused the death of another, that they would have a city of refuge to go live in. And God said, if you really love me, you'll make 3 more cities. You know, these were things that were done by accident. You know, accidents happen, stuff happens, and people die, people get hurt, so that person wouldn't lose their life and for vengeance for somebody else, they could go to these cities. And God says that once they're there, this is a city of refuge. It's a very different concept than the one we have. Chapter 30. Chapter 30 and verse 6. The Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to walk, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And then, you know, that sounds like one of the verses in the New Testament where you are circumcised by the Spirit, and we are the true circumcision. You know, so just, I forget where that verse is, but you think about it, God wanted to circumcise their heart, not just the outside, but their heart, to love Him. And He made that happen for us, you and I, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. See, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's the love of God. It's love God and the ability to love others with that love. God's done and given all these things. And how? Just do His word. just do his word. I mean, there's 20 or 30 more verses here that I could read, but I don't want to read them all. Let's go to Matthew. There are three records in the gospel. Each one of them is different, talking about this subject. Each one of them, the situation is different. Matthew 22 is the first one. And Jesus Christ is dealing with and teaching the word and being asked questions. And in Matthew 22, he's confronted by the two major religious groups in the area, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees' major belief was that there was no resurrection. And how you could come to that and read the Old Testament, you know, that's just beyond me. But they did. It's just like a lot of religious groups are beyond me in what they believe and what they think. But these guys didn't believe in the resurrection, so they did this story and tried to trick Jesus. And oh, this lady, you know, she got married, her first husband died, up to seven husbands, they're all dead. So in the resurrection, which one's going to have her, right? And he says, you do error not knowing the power of God. You just don't know what you're talking about. And then the Pharisees saw that Jesus had put the Sadducees to shame, this guy comes up in verse 34 and he says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. It wasn't a question of, I really want to know. You know, people ask you questions and they really don't want to know. They're just baiting you for an answer. You know, they just want their moment, you know, where they can cancel you or whatever they do these days. They did the whole thing back then too. Nothing's different, right? Nothing new under the sun. So he asked the question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two. So if you get these two right, right? Everything back here in the book, this whole big section, this is the point. Everything that's written in here, the point of it is to learn to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the point. Now, just think of how much reading you wouldn't have to do if you just believe those two things. we have to read it. We have to learn it anyhow. Because somebody says to me, "Well, you got to love your neighbor as yourself." You know, one of the things in here is, I want to teach you what that means. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to leave it up to your imagination to determine how you're going to love one another. You know, because you could have one of those, oh, I've seen it in a comedy act where the guy on TV walks into the room and says, well, here I am. I'm loving you because I'm here with you. I'm just, it's such a blessing to be with me, isn't it? Oh, man. Yeah, it's such a blessing to be with me. I'm just God's gift to creation. You ever meet people? I've met people like that. That's how we get those comedy skits. But the Pharisee asked this question of Jesus, tempting him, and the Lord gave him a straight answer. This is it. Everything hangs on these two things. And I want you to keep that in your heart. Go to Mark 12. This is a different situation, different scenario. Mark 12, 26. It says, and it's touching the dead that they rise. Yet have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You, therefore, do greatly error. For one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, he perceived that he had answered him well and asked him, which is the first and great commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these. And the one, Matthew, it says they all hang on these. There's nothing greater than this. If you miss these two, you miss the whole boat. You know, how simple, how straightforward, how simple the truth. God wants us, the first and foremost thing is to love him, then to love our neighbor, to love each other, to love those around us. And Luke, go with one more. And I think you should read the context of each one of these. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And Jesus Christ is talking again. And it says in verse 25, and it says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, which is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you read the Bible? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, see, you couldn't just leave things enough alone, right? You know, you got the right answer, but see, he doesn't like Jesus to begin with. So he's asking the question, then Jesus makes him answer it. And now, because he is just like that, remember the parable of the forgiving father, I call it, or other people call it the prodigal son. You had one son that was a bum that took everything his father had given him and went and wasted it. Right, and came back basically on his needs, poor and destitute. The other son could care less that his brother came home, that his father was happy. He was one of those hard-hearted, you know, pharisaical type. And the father said to him, what the heck's the matter with you? Everything I got is yours. I mean, he gave the other kid his inheritance. This kid's got everything that the father's got. And yet he won't love his brother. So this guy is one of those, another bum. Really is a bum. And he answered, but he being willing, verse 29, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is thy neighbor? And Jesus answered and gave him this wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. And the guy who was the neighbor was the Samaritan, not the priests, not the Levites, not everybody else that walked on the other side of the road, but the guy who helped him, the Samaritan, the half-Jew, the one nobody would talk to. That was his neighbor. You know, it's go to Ephesians here. Is this simple, that what God wants? Ephesians chapter 4. You've all read the book of Ephesians. You've all, I hope and pray you've all read the book of Ephesians, and I hope and pray you've read it many, many times. It's one of the great books that we teach from and love to read from. Let me just give you, the book of Ephesians starts off really telling us what God has done, what God wanted, and the power of the God's deliverance for his purpose, which was to get us back to him, right? Then it tells us in chapter 2 how we were dead in trespasses and couldn't add anything to this, and that it was by God's grace that we're saved. Then it tells us about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us and how he bled, he died, that his blood reconciled us back to God, took away all of the things that were against us. And that at the end of that chapter, you have that God, he's habiting. He is living within us. He is our habitation. That was the word I was looking for. He is our habitation. He's living within us. He wants to be so close to us that he lives within us. We got God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then chapter 4 and 5 and 6 tell us how we're supposed to respond in light of this. I've done all this for you. I've loved you. I've blessed you. Now this is how you love me. You know, and chapter 4, verse 1 says, I beseech you, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And you do this with meekness, lowliness, and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You put up with each other in love. You know, we got to put up with each other. You ever hang out with somebody long enough that they irritate you? Hey, Mary. 47 years. It's true. It's true. I don't care how much you love somebody, you hang out with them long enough, they irritate you. Isn't this like human? It's okay to be human. But we got to love each other. We got to love each other, even being long-suffering with each other. Now, he's telling you how to love your neighbor as yourself. This is not rocket science. Okay, you're going to be irritated, so be long-suffering. Do it with meekness, long-suffering, humility, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's work. You got to endeavor to do this. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every single believer's got the same exact measure as Christ. So it's got nothing to do with ability, does it? You all got the same exact measure, but not everybody's got the same exact job. See, the Lord is the one who is the head of the body, right? My head controls the rest of this vehicle that I have called the body. This mind, pray for me that it stays on right track. This mind directs what this body does. The hand doesn't tell the mind what to do. The mind tells the hand what to do. The hand may feel the hot fire, but the hand doesn't have the brains to pull it back. The message is sent to the brain, and the brain pulls the hand out of the fire. Okay. We're members of the body. It's an illustration. Each one of us has got a piece of this body. What you don't get to choose what your piece is. The Lord is the head. None of us are the head. George is wearing a hat today. Jesus is my boss. That's the truth. It's bigger than that, but that's the truth. Much bigger. He is the head. He decides where each church goes. He decides whether it's going to be blessed or whether it's acceptable. All these wonderful things. Just read the book of Revelation. I got something against you. Clean up your act. You and I look at the word. We listen to our Lord. We listen to how we are to be corrected and guided and loved. We're always loved. But children need correction and guidance. And sometimes a crack, you know, on the butt. But the point is, it's necessary. So you read this chapter 4. We're to speak the truth one to another, kind, loving, because of everything that Jesus Christ has done. Look at verse 17. And this I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. We're not supposed to walk like the rest of the world, having the understanding darkened, being aliens from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, their past feeling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. That's not what you learned in the scriptures. That's not what you've been taught. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. You put off everything that this world pushes. How's that? It's a different way to put it, huh? According to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. See, what happens when a person lies to another? The relationship is immediately changed forever. It really is. It's changed. How do I trust you the next time? Okay, you said you're sorry, you got caught in a lie. How do I trust you now? It's never the same. Now, we all fall short. We have to forgive. We're going to be told this here in a little bit. But the point is, so don't lie. Speak exactly what it is that's on your mind. This is a very good thing. And then if there is need to change what's on your mind, you can honestly change it. You see what I mean? if my children lied to me, if my children lied to me and they went out and they said, oh, I went to this place, and then they went someplace else, how would I trust them again? You break that relationship. No matter what kind of trouble they got in, they knew mom and dad had their back. Mom and dad had been in plenty of trouble in their lives. Mom and dad understood this. I've been in plenty of trouble in my spiritual life at time to time. I have sinned against God, and I had to come back. If there's anybody out there who hasn't done that yet, just raise your hand, let me know, and maybe everybody ought to follow you. But we're all sinners, right? We all have experienced times when we have betrayed our Father, betrayed and lied in our own heart to Him. And you can't really lie to Him because He knows everything. But you have endeavored to. And then He has brought us back. The difference with God is that He can forget. He can wipe it free. He, where you and I have so much difficulty building back trust again, He has none. He has none. He saved us. He sent His Son when we were dead, stinking, rotting corpses that couldn't do anything to help themselves. We were His enemy. And He sent His Son to die for us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness with the blood of Christ. And anytime you and I get into trouble again, and God, it's too bad what we do. I don't take it lightly, but we do. Then we sin, like it says in 1 John 1:9. We confess our sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive us. And just keep your finger there in Ephesians for a second. Go to 1 John 1:9. I don't want to butcher a verse. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you're clean with God, you know, my brother's got a car detailing thing. He tells his employees, clean is clean. It ain't clean unless it's clean. Right? So with God is cleansed. Do you think that there's any spot left? You ask for forgiveness, there's no spots left. We got to steal our mind and believe it. Isn't He big enough? Is He a liar? Is He stretching the truth? Is He exaggerating? You sure? Then there's no spot left. But you're sure. Because you got to be sure. And if you're playing mind games with it, stop it. You ain't that bright. Don't play with God. Just believe what He says. And rejoice. Be thankful. Full of joy, thanksgiving, blessing. Endeavoring to do your best for the Lord from that point on. You endeavor to do your utmost for His highest, as He has cleansed you. He took you and wiped out all your iniquity with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He will forgive every sin that you confess before Him. I confess sins I'm sure I forgot some, Father, forgive me. And I don't do it lightly because I know my mind goes down corridors that you don't really want to go down. And it just runs down that direction. I had no intention of turning that way. Mind is a terrible thing. And back to Ephesians 4. You put on this new man. So you put away lying, verse 25. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. We are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. The word angry here is there's two words for angry. This is the same word for angry as when Jesus turned over the table and the thing. All right. This one is annoyed. It's the Greek word for being annoyed. You can be greatly annoyed. But the other word for angry is thumos. We get the word tempest, to boil over at sin. Jesus was annoyed. He looked all round about on them, being annoyed at them. But he didn't lose control. He didn't boil over. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know what? When the day is over, cut it loose. It's over. That day's gone. Don't carry it into the next day. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Oh, geez. You mean that Christians can steal? Yes. All right? Don't. But rather, the whole point, get a job so that you can have it, you can working with his own hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needs. You get a job so that you can give. You know, work my whole life, take care of my family, help others. Can't take it with you. There's no roof racks on hearses. No U-Haul vans on the back. No. You work to have to give. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Boy, this is a difficult one. But that which is good to the use of edifying. You know, this thing with the tongue, if you read it in James, this is one of the most difficult things going. So you just do your best to control and discipline yourself, that everything that comes out of your mouth should be to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You got the Spirit of God within you. Don't give it a hard time. The Spirit wants to do the things of God. Jesus Christ, when he was 12, he says, my whole point is to be about my Father's work. The Spirit wants to do the Father's work. The Spirit wants to guide you and teach you, and you got to want it. And don't grieve it. Don't give the Spirit a hard time. You can give the Spirit a hard time. You can shut off the guidance. You can, just like anybody else, disobey what God wants inspired to be done. Don't grieve the Spirit, whereby we are all sealed unto the day of redemption. And here's an example. Let all bitterness. You got bitter about anything? You know, sit back and ask yourself the question. You bitter about anything, anybody, any stuff? Or wrath, anger, you know, revenge, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself as a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling Savior. Is that hard? It's a choice. Here's a little confession. I went to school and didn't learn much of nothing. You know what I learned to do? I became an expert at cheating. I spent more time learning how to cheat and spent a lot of energy cheating. Right? I did. In fact, it would have been easier to learn the lesson than to spend the hours that I spent developing my skills in cheating. And is that, I'm sure you all were very blessed to hear that your preacher lived this way. But that's the truth. Remember, I've all told you a numbers of times that Mary taught me how to read, right? I mean, that's in my 20s. How do you think you get through school? So you can develop a lifestyle that is so contrary to everything around you. That's, I get away with it. In fact, I was really very good at that. Mary didn't even know that I didn't know how to read. Until I told her. And the reason I wanted to learn how to read is because I wanted to learn to teach the Bible. That's it. That was my motivation. So, well, you want to talk about humbling yourself? You know, go ahead and tell the woman that you love, you can't even do the basic thing. Just so you can learn to do something for God. You know, and there's a whole bunch of things, but it's choice, isn't it? Him that stole, I stole other people's information. Steal no more. You choose. You choose. You choose to live God's way. You choose to do His word. This is how it is to love God. You do what He wants you to do because this is how you love Him, by obeying His commandments. The things that are listed here in Ephesians between chapter 4 and 6 really is a very good picture. You'll break none of the commandments in the law of Moses or anything in the beginning of the Hebrew scriptures won't be broken if you live here, if you live like this, being loving and kind to one another, taking care of one another, you know, being tender-hearted, compassionate, merciful, love like Christ, which is sacrificial. I mean, this is how what it means to do those two great commandments. You do those things. Hey, we're good. We're good with the Father. You can even do them better and better each day. You can grow in love. But you're good. You see what I mean? It doesn't take a college course. It doesn't take a year or two to learn this, to do this. It only takes 3 chapters. If you don't know how to read like me, ask somebody to read them to you. And that's how I learned it. I had an excellent memory. I could recite back to you everything that you told me. But that's why I said, you know, you got to develop a skill. Go to 1 John, just a couple of verses more, and we're done. How simple, how wonderful, how loving. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Maybe it's not. Two 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Chapter 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's how we perceive the love of God. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's how we should respond to the fact that he laid down his life for us. We should lay down our lives for one another. You know, we stand for with each other. We pray for one another. Nobody gets thrown out. There's no such thing as dismissed. I don't like you anymore. No such thing. The people that irritate me, they got to be loved. The people that I need to be long-suffering with, they got to be loved. There's no such thing as throw away. You know, no such thing. People may leave me, but I do my absolute best not to love them. I may thank God they left. I can't say that I didn't. But I can't quit. I can't quit. I can't quit on you. No. God didn't quit on me. I can't quit on you. I can't. You know, I try to be extremely honest with you all. I'm sure you go through some of the same, if not similar, feelings and emotions. Sometimes people wouldn't express them out loud, but I just think it's necessary. Go to chapter 5, last verse. Verse 3. For this is the love of God. This is how you love him. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The things that we read, we didn't read them all in Ephesians. Chapter 4, 5, and 6. Do you read those things? You read them, and you can read it in Romans chapter 12 and following. Those are the practical side of walking your Christianity. These are not very super difficult concepts. In fact, they're pleasant. You may have a challenge with individuals in your life to forgive. But when you do forgive another, it frees you. It benefits you as much as it benefited them. In fact, it benefits you more. When you're kind, whatever you give in this life, you'll receive. God says, if you do his word, remember Deuteronomy? Everything, I'm going to bless everything you do, period. And does that mean that I get everything I can dream of? Nah, doesn't happen that way. It's not what he said. Said that it'll rain when it's supposed to rain, and you'll be fruitful, and you'll be blessed. You know. Just read the promises. They're all yours to have. Love your Father in heaven. Love him. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the best you can do. You know, you wives, you reverence your husbands. You husbands, you cherish your wives. It's the best you can do. And that's what I wanted to share with you all this morning.